December, we're going to concentrate on Advent teaching and understanding of what the coming is all about, what Advent is. Oh, and I forgot an important announcement. Christy Losley will be leading a Christmas play this year, and she will be looking for sign-ups. Is there a sheet over there? Sign-up sheet on the table if you'd like to be part of the Christmas play. It's for children and adults? Everybody or anybody? She can assign you a part, yes. But if you have been following this reading plan, you'll notice that this week was a long read. 14 chapters of the book of Matthew, half of the book, 28 in all. And as I looked at that, I'm thinking about that. It happened again. I've shared this with you before. I'll keep repeating it because it just happens to me. But I find that when I read something that is so familiar to me, there is a temptation to speed read. To go so fast through the material because my mind is saying, oh, I know that. Can you imagine, church, standing in front of Jesus and he begins to speak to you and you interrupt him and say, oh, I know that. I think, Amanda, that's when you get Jesus smacked, right? That's where Jesus smack comes in. So what I tried to do this week, I mean, I didn't try. This is what I did. It was my discipline for the week. And I just encourage you, if anything you hear this morning is helpful, then you can try it for the next week. But what I tried to do is I read through, was I asked the Holy Spirit, with pen in hand, I asked the Holy Spirit just to make any part of it come alive, be new, or be fresh, or be the reminder that I needed for that day, to be the daily guidepost to me, right, for that day. And it wasn't so much that I was looking for a great teaching for the church. I wanted to know what God was saying to me. How cool is that? That God Almighty, through His Word, might speak to you. So I've got my notes. I'm going to share some of that with you. But then this morning, Anita comes in, and we were just chatting before worship and all that. And she said exactly the same thing that he had spoken to me. He had spoken to her. This woman's read the Gospel of Matthew many, many times. And yet, here was something that exploded off the page, an epiphany, if you will. And so we will be sharing that here in a few minutes. So Matthew, of course, is the story of Jesus Christ. And we're asking ourselves, not just what is new, because if you've read it over and over, it might not seem new, but how about this? What is fresh? How many of you in your life could use a freshening? I mean, I'm not making light of what you do. I'm not saying that what you do is wrong. I'm not telling anybody you're on the wrong path or anything. But how many of us at times can just get in a rut? We wake up, we do the same thing day in, day out, right? And what we're looking for is that fresh move of God in our lives. Amen? And if we're not careful, oh, forgive me, oh God, you have blessed us. We in America are blessed with so much abundance. I was listening to the radio this morning. I was hearing about what's going on in Hungary. Huh. You know who built a wall? The Hungarians have built a wall. Barbed razor wire wall on their border with Serbia to keep the immigrants out. It's not just America that's got an immigration problem. Europe has a terrific immigration problem. And so to keep these not just hundreds, not just thousands, millions of people are trying to get away from suffering, folks. Oh, man, I could go down that rabbit trail. I'm sorry. What would Jesus do? Would Jesus build a razor wire wall to keep people out? And yet, what do we do as a nation? How do we protect it? This is bigger than my pay grade. But I'm thinking of how blessed we are. Banks, Oregon, got everything we could possibly want. Mike, even though you got 80 acres and you're trying to sell it, oh, praise God, at least you got 80 acres, right? You can go camping in your own property. And yet, the day in, the day out, the routines come, and you and I can suffer just falling into kind of just living. Not much doing, but just kind of living. Well, I'm not saying you're not doing. You're doing a great deal. Some of us are doing so much, we're just so busy we can't hear from God. I mean, what would happen if the Holy Spirit spoke to you to do a thing? Would you find yourself telling him you were too busy? Doing all the other things you were doing. Now, there's a great benefit for you to buy a new Bible. I usually get a new Bible every December, getting ready for January for the new season. And here's why a new Bible is a good thing. Your old Bible is your buddy. It's your friend. You know where to go. If I quote a scripture, you know how to find it in your old Bible. It's very embarrassing. Somebody quotes a scripture and you can't figure it out in your new Bible. I get it. But if you buy a new Bible, it's all fresh. Get a different translation than the last one. And quit arguing that it's the wrong one. Just get the thing and read it and let God speak to you in a fresh and new way. And then after you've gotten through your devotions of the morning, then you can get your old friend out and read him some more. In Matthew 1, look at what we discover in verse 20. It's the story of Joseph. And Joseph's got a problem because this gal that he's going to marry, who he's not married to, shows up pregnant. And there is not a one of us that doesn't think that's a big problem. And so most of the teaching you and I have heard about this will develop that story of Mary's pregnancy and the divinity of it and how Joseph has to... But look at what it says in verse 20. Now when Joseph had decided to act on his instincts, which weren't going to be good, a messenger of the Lord came to him in a dream. How many of you believe in angels? We do not worship angels. In fact, several times when angels appear to people in the Bible, and especially in Revelation, angels will show up and the man or woman will want to bow down and worship the angel because they're so powerful. And the angels, I am a created being. Worship only God. Right? But I love the fact that there are angels. When Carol and I were lost in the giant city of Burgos in Spain with no place to sleep, I say an angel of God came and led us out of the city and found us a hotel. A little bed and breakfast kind of a place. I went down there, secured the room, came back to thank this gal. Poof, gone. Now, there may be a lot of explanations. I choose to say thank you, Jesus, for the angel. Amen. Our dear friend Brian Scheimer just finished his Camino. He's getting near the end. He goes to this old village. He found an ATM where he could get some money. He tried his card, and it kept being refused. And we found that, too. There's different networks of money machines, and whatever network he was on wouldn't give him any money. So he finally gave up, and he went back on his journey. The next guy coming up to get money out of the ATM, boom, a wad of money came out. It was Brian's money. So the machine, maybe Brian didn't read the Spanish correctly or something. The machine worked. It spit out his money. And this other guy was the beneficiary. Grabs that money, I don't know how much. And you know what he does? He hunts Brian down. He had seen him go off in a certain direction. He goes, chases him down, and gives him his ATM money. Now, I haven't talked to Brian. I'm looking forward to asking him if he ever met that guy other than that chance meeting, if he was a pilgrim on the way, or if he was a town. You know, maybe he's an angel of the Lord. My point, church, is how would it change your Monday through Friday life if you just had an awareness of the other realm? If you just had an understanding that God was at work on your behalf, that Mike and Marty Ross may have been saved by a giant angel, in addition to Marty's yanking the wheel. Then in verse 21 and 22 kind of run together. She will have a son, and you will name him Jesus, which means the Lord saves, because this Jesus is the person who will save all of his people from sin. Had we ever heard about that before? Had what happened to Joseph and Mary been spoken of ever before? Countless times, well, not countless, many times, and what do we call it? Prophecy. So in the Old Testament, through the prophets, major and minor, and had not the people of God been prepared for what was coming? Through the voice of prophecy, right? Through lots of different sources. Now, the reason I'm trying to beat the drum here, get you to pay attention. If God had taken the time to prepare this generation of Joseph and Mary, he had taken the time to prepare them through all these generations before, right? Through the message of prophecy. Is there any benefit to you and me today with the message of prophecy?
Yes.
Wow! In fact, we just finished the book of Revelation and it says, blessed will you be if you read this book. Right? So isn't this kind of cool? God is not just a silent deity off in the heavens somewhere, leaving us to our own situation. He is active in our lives and he's in the book. So isn't it remarkable that when the prophets spoke a thing and the people rejected the prophets and it all went away and time passed hundreds and hundreds of years. Now we come to the fulfillment of prophecy and Jesus is trying to say to them, this is what was spoken of by the prophet and he'll name the thing, right? What do the people do? These Jewish people, these Pharisees, these scholars of the law, what did they do when he tells them this is what was spoken to you of? They said, don't bother me. They rejected him. Man. Well, if you just page quickly with me. Chapter 1, verse 22, a prophet of Israel foretold. In chapter 2, verse 6, a prophet Micah said. In chapter 2, 17, long foretold by the prophet Jeremiah. 2:15, 2:23, 3:3, 4:14. What I'm trying to get you to see is what I found myself doing was just in the early pages of Matthew, every time the prophet showed up, I made a little underline. Just to remind myself that our God is not silent in trying to speak to us. One of the roles, you know, of a preacher is to rightly divide the Word of God. Yes? Because the Word of God is able to cut through whatever defenses you've built up against Him. Right? That's the message of this book. Now, hang with me on chapter 2. Don't worry, I'm not going to do this through all 14 chapters. Chapter 2, verse 14. So Joseph got up in the middle of the night. Oh, now why would Joseph get up in the middle of the night? Oh, and it says he bundled up Mary and Jesus and they left for Egypt. Why would a husband get his wife and infant son and pack them all up and move them where? To Egypt? So he didn't just move them next door. Because the messenger of the Lord showed up to him. And he said, get up, take the child and his mother, head to Egypt. Stay there till I tell you it's safe to leave. For Herod understands that Jesus threatens him and all that he stands for. He's planning to search for the child and kill him. But you'll be safe in Egypt. Next line. So Joseph bundled up his family and left. Really? What do we call that? Huh? Obedience. What an amazing freshening of the Word of God. You could write in your margin right there, obedience. Then in chapter 4, verse 20, Jesus says, come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. What does your Bible say next? Immediately, right away, did they sit down and have a debate? Were they trying to compare following Jesus Christ with the economic loss? If Jesus calls you to do a thing, and you debate with him about it, if you humbly try to reason with him that somehow he doesn't know what he's talking about, what kind of disciple are you? I mean, really, who's in charge? And I mean, my culture has raised me to be in charge. I mean, my home is my castle, and I'm the head of that wife, and I'm the king of my castle. And, you know, this is... And what do you do if Jesus shows up and says, I want you to do a thing? And then your friends get a hold of you and say, what? What are you doing? All I can tell you, church, is when you are obedient to do what God told you to do, the blessings, the cascading blessings are incomparable. And I don't mean that they're all money. But when you know you've done something God's asked you to do, you almost can't explain it. God told us to take a trip across Spain. I still can't explain to you why. Why is that so big a deal? I bet you're sick of hearing about it. But I can't stop talking about it. I'm 68 years old. God says, do a thing. What? I can't do that. Why not? I'm too old. My body hurts. I mean, are there any reasons you could not do something? He calls you to go on a mission, you go. He says that some of you have been called to Haiti. Some of you have been called to Mazatlan, Mexico. Some of you have been called to this place or that. Some of you have been called to write a note every week for 5 years. How ridiculous is that? And yet, the joy that flooded Irene's soul just at the thought of Mary's home going, wow, that's worth every card, every stamp, every bit of obedience. What I saw fresh in the reading of Matthew in these first 14 chapters had to do with prophecy and obedience. That First, that God has not withheld from me or you His will. Now, I got to stop there and risk upsetting some people. I have had it said to me on more than one occasion that God doesn't speak to me. I've had people say with great honesty and integrity that they just don't feel the Lord anymore. I'm not looking at anyone. And yet I submit to you, there He is. Because He is the Word. Jesus Christ is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. Well, I've tried to read that thing. It's too complicated. It puts me to sleep, or I don't like the words. I get it. Choose this day whom you'll serve. We each have to make a choice. Are we going to yield to the rich prophetic word of God? Or are we going to collapse and say, I don't get it? If you've got a Bible you don't understand, please come and see me. And I'll give you one you can understand. There are lots of them. And I've had people kind of say, all those paraphrase Bibles, they're no good. Really? The Word of God made simple so you can understand it is no good? Oh, it may not be a canonized text. But what kind of an academic are you anyway? Right? If you're going to tell me that you want something where the original Greek and Hebrew are precisely translated, I'd say you better go start studying Greek and Hebrew. Right? But if you want to know what the Word of God says, get something where a guy who did translate it says this is what it says. And then do what my buddy Kevin and I get to do these days. And we start spreading out all kinds of books, don't we, Kevin? Mm-hmm. Kevin will email, did you hear what so-and-so said? Church, the Word of God is available to us. We're not just trying to fill up our week with something because we didn't know what else to do. What you and I need to do is not make the mistake of the Pharisee. And let's get in there and find out what God says. That's number one. Prophetic word was spoken to me. The second thing was, be obedient. Because here's the danger. If you start reading the Word of God and asking Him to send messengers to you to speak to you, they might show up. And then you've got a problem of whether or not you're going to obey Him. Nothing, take my word for it, nothing is more precious and exciting in life than obeying God. I was a candle salesman. Do you hear what I'm telling you? I sold candles for a living. God said, go to Joseph, Oregon and start a church. What? You've got to be kidding. I want you to go, Joseph, Oregon, start a church. But nobody will come. So what? I'll look like a fool. So what? I'll go through all my money. So what? So the wonderful church agreed to give us $800 the first month. And they said, you go and you preach the word and take offerings. And then whatever you come up short the next month, in other words, less than 800. So if you get 600, then we'll give you 200 the next month. So you'll always have your 800 a month. That's big living, let me tell you. After the first month, we never had to go back to mom again. I'm watching a simple movie called The Way in January of 2013. I looked at my wife. I said, this would be kind of fun. She says, this my wife says, we should go. Are you crazy? We left in April. This isn't to boast on me. I'm trying to boast on the Lord. When you just do what He's told you to do, wow, what a feeling. And if the thing doesn't turn out with grandeur and glory, and if the thing isn't all so special, you can always say, Jesus, I did what you told me. Let me ask you this. What happened when Jesus did what He was told to do? He died horribly. Was that failure or success? Lord, we humble ourselves before You and Your Word. We ask that You would continue to prophetically speak into our lives, O God. And when we don't feel like You're so close, draw us near. When we are confused by what You're saying to us, help us as we read to clarify it. Lord, we are Yours. We depend on You. There is no other God. And we pray in Your name. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you, church, for coming and being obedient. If you get any epiphanies through the reading of the Matthew, Mark, and Luke portion in the month of October, please put them on the epiphany board because we welcome hearing about it. Okay, you are dismissed, and we have refreshments.